I can do it?
You can do it now.
I get up. Are you sure? Okay. Well, good morning. We're so glad that you guys are here. About the chairs, again, don't worry about the chairs. If you hadn't bought one, sit on the floor, okay? It's all right. It's just where we're at, you know? No, it's going to be great. The building's going good. It looks good. They're going to hopefully finish bricking next week, and things keep rocking and rolling, and hopefully we'll be in it soon. So I cannot wait for the day that we're in there. Amen. Amen. You keep Arnold Patterson in the prayers, if you would, because he's losing his hair over this job, you know. And well, yeah, he's got one left. I mean, that's just where it's at. You know? We don't want him to lose it. So, guys, my little clicker is...
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Here's the title of the message this morning. How do you float your assets when your world is in liquidation? And I know nobody here has any of these kind of problems at all, okay? But it's a question, and I really want you to look at it today, but truly, how do you float all the things that God has given us when it seems like your world is in liquidation? Sometimes it seems like we're about to sink, and it definitely doesn't seem like we're about to swim. And, you know, I know that there are stories about Peter walking on water. I know that there are stories where Jesus is told, his disciples, let's get into the boat, let's go, you know, to the other side. And they got in the boat, they went to the other side, they got scared. But still, at the same time, how do you do this? And I hope today would provide the application to help us learn what we need to do. Here's one of my questions to all of us. Why do some people seem to be in the right place at the right time? You know, years ago when I wrote this, Mike, I was thinking about you. The day that you had the embolism, you were at the right place at the right time because of the doctor that was there. It was like the guy that it was a guru of what Mike had. He was at the right place at the right time. So why do you think, Leon, why do you think that some people are just there?
Coincidence,
okay. Anybody else? What do you think, Daryl?
Providential.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
God's timing.
Okay. Here's one of the things. I'm going to teach you a new prayer today that I have never prayed in my 28 years of ministry, and I started praying it now, and you're going to see some things. The world will call us lucky. When I had the pulmonary embolism and everybody says, no one survives that, you're just lucky. I went, no, I'm not lucky, I'm blessed, okay? In all of our lives, it's not about luck. It's not about rolling dices and go, oh, wow. You know, it's about something that God can give to you and I, and it's truly called a blessing. Now look at Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11. It says that he has made everything appropriate when? In its time. The greatest desire for mankind is not to be out of step in God's will. Now, again, one of the greatest challenges for mankind is that sometimes it seems as if, you know, I know nobody in here ever gets in a hurry, okay? But sometimes it seems like we are the ones that want to get ahead of God. There is that other group of people that go, well, you know, and then we're the ones that are kind of behind that step that God gives us. So it's important for us, and I think our desire is to be in step with God, that when God goes forward, we go forward. When God says stop, we stop. Sometimes we do, and sometimes we do not. Now, you know, it's debatable, and this is not a debatable question this morning, about who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Well, it says the son of David. Some are going, you know, it could have been anybody. Well, I believe Solomon is the one that wrote it. So let's just look at Solomon today, because he was a man of great wisdom. But he says, I again saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. Mike, how does that go against everything that we've been taught?
The one who runs the fastest gets the prize.
Gets the prize. Okay, so it says that the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the warriors. You can use some translations. It says the battle is not to the strong, and neither is bread to the wise, nor wealth to the discerning. One of the translations says wealth to those who have the ability, nor favor to men of ability. And then it says again, for time and chance overtake them all. Moreover, man does not know his time. Pam and I got a phone call Friday night. And there's a person that I've known for years and years. He lives in the city. Didn't really know his condition. Bottom line, he is sick. They give him just probably a week to live. And they wanted me to come over and talk to him. And we did. You know, and I shared with him first and foremost, I said, you know, do you know the Lord? And he said, yeah. He said, you know, I'm okay with that. I know the Lord. I said, are you okay with this picture? And he says, as best as I can be. And I said, are you ready to go home to be with the Lord? And he says, you know, he says, not really. I want to fight. Then I said, my prayer for you is that God will provide for you a miracle in your life. But I said, you know, there is a timing. There's a day you're born. There's a day that you die. I mean, that's what the book of Ecclesiastes says. And he says, I'm okay with whatever God wants to do. But what's important for us, man does not know his time. Okay? Like a fish caught in a treacherous net and birds trapped in a snare, so the sons of men are ensnared at an evil time when it suddenly falls on them. Now, we've heard providential before. We've heard timing. There's something here that you're going to see, I hope, that I, you know, I saw, then I hope that you will see it. First of all, the race is not to the swift. It's not about who runs the fastest. It's not about who does the most. That's not the Christian race. The battle is not to those who are the strongest. It's not to those who are the warriors, because candidly, the battle doesn't belong to you and me. The battle belongs to the Lord that you and I fight in our life. It's not bread to the wise, because the Bible says God's going to take all the wise men and confound them with the simple things. And you and I have to understand, and I think we've all been a part of life at some point in time, where these things happen and they make no sense at all. You just kind of reason through it and you go, you know, I don't understand this. Or sometimes it's just so simple. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going through a problem and I'm fearful. Go trust the Lord. Amen. Doesn't make sense. Well, just go trust the Lord. How? Well, I don't know. Just go trust the Lord. It's just simple, but it's deep. The other is, for time and chance is going to overtake everybody. But the key for us is to be in the right place at the right time. Now, y'all are going to laugh when I say this, and I don't mean it that way, but when I met my bride, it was the right place, it was the right time for me. She wishes she'd have probably ran the other way. But it was the right place and the right time. You know, God orchestrated that so that Pam and I could be together and that we would be doing what we're doing today. Now, in Ecclesiastes 9:12, it says, moreover, man does not know his time. Like fish caught in a treacherous net, birds that are trapped in a snare. So the sons of men are ensnared at an evil time when it suddenly falls on them. Only God and God alone can put you and me in the right place at the right time. Now, I don't know if you've ever prayed to go, God, put me in the right place at the right time. Now, I got to tell you, I've never prayed that prayer. I haven't done it. And I want to show you some other things that are important. The world will say, guys, go out and plan your day. The world says, go out and plan your week. Plan your year. Plan your life. Go out and follow your visions. World says, set your own pace. And everything that the world does to you and me is about you and me. It misplaces, it takes God out of this picture. Because first of all, you're not going to plan your day. You can try. You know, if you've been a pastor, go plan your day. It don't work. Okay? Plan your week. That don't work either. I asked Arnold the other day, I said, hey, would you put a list together, you know, and so that we would kind of know where, like, I can, but, you know, it doesn't work, you know. Plan your year, plan your life. I think we can all follow the vision that God has given us, but the key is it's not ours. Amen. It's what God wants you and I to do in our life. And the world says it's all about us, and the Bible says apart from God, you and I can do absolutely nothing. So it's important for us, when we have prayed to receive Christ, not only did you pray to receive him as your Savior, you prayed to receive him as your Lord. Well, what happens when someone becomes your Lord? You become number two, he becomes number one. He tells you where to go, what to do, when to do, how to do it, what time to do it, what to buy, what not. He tells everything about your life. Now, the key is, do you live that way? And sometimes we do. Candidly, sometimes we don't do a very good job. Proverbs 16 and 9 says, the mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. You can do all the planning you want, but if you have a discerning spirit, there will be times that the Lord will tell you, I don't want you to go in that direction. Or the Lord will say, I don't want you to do that at all. Or the Lord will say, speed it up, get it done before now. And there's a reason, because the Lord directs the steps of mankind. To succeed in life and to avoid calamity, which we all want, you have to be at the right place. You have to be at the right time. It's not based, church, upon your personal success. It's not based upon your ability, your knowledge. It's not based upon all the different, you know, papers you have on your wall that says, I've got this degree or that degree. It's all about God. And it's about God putting us in the right place and the right time to fit his schedule, and candidly, not ours. Now, Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with some of your heart. We laugh, but that's about as far as some of us get. You and I have got to I don't know if it's learn, earn, whatever the deal is going to be, trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And then lean not on your own understanding, because it's your understanding that got you in the mess in the first place. So don't lean on your own understanding. The Bible says that if you lack wisdom, ask for it. Who's going to provide the wisdom? God. Who do we normally go to? No. We call up our buddy, our friends, our, hey, man, you know, and they give you advice. Well, Lord, they're more messed up than you are, and you take their advice. We all do it. And what God says is, don't lean on your own understanding. Lean on my wisdom. And it says, in all of your ways, when you're on the top of the mountain, when you're in the bottom of the sea, When you're out to the right, when you're out to the left, when the wind blows, when the rain falls, in all of your ways acknowledge Him. Now, there's no doubt God puts people in our life for a reason, because they do provide wise counsel to us. But it says acknowledge Him, seek wisdom from Him, and He is the one that will make our paths straight. Now, Isaiah 30 and 21, it says your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or whenever you turn to the left. You know, I was telling Mike and Cindy, and I'm writing a paper currently, and it was about my life. And I remember when all heck broke loose and things were going crazy, and I drove down 518 and I was passing First Baptist Church, and it's the first time I ever heard a voice. And the voice says, pull in the church. And I'm going, why do I want to pull in the church? I don't even know anybody there. It's like, pull in the church. And I made me a quickie U-turn in the church. Almost caused the biggest traffic accident in front of Central Texas Barbecue, you know. And I pulled in the church, walked in, have no knowledge, no clue what I'm doing. I don't even know who I'm going to talk to. I run into a pastor, bottom line, he shares Christ with me. That was September 12, 1990, and you guys have been stuck with me ever since, okay? But the thing is, God speaks to us. You know, sometimes you go, is that gas? You know? Say, no, it's not gas. It's God talking to us. And either you can go, okay, that's a bunch of nonsense, or candidly, you can walk in the ways of the Lord. Well, how do I know it came from God? We'll test it through scriptures. That's the greatest way of all. Was it wrong for me to pull into a church? No, I thought that was a pretty healthy atmosphere. Was it someplace I wanted to be? Not really, but God had a different plan. God said, pull in, and I pulled in. So what's important is when God speaks, listen to Him and don't lean on your own understanding. Now, in Psalms 32 and 8, He says, I will instruct you. So if God says, I'm going to instruct you, that means you're not in the picture. That means all of your wonderful, earthly, great knowledge really doesn't mean anything. You know, God says, I'm the one that will instruct you. I'm the one that's going to teach you. You know, all the self-help books that are out here in society today, and everybody reads them, you know, what's the best way to save money? What's the best way to have a happy life? You know, all these other kind of things. God says, let me teach you. Let me instruct you in the way that you should go. He says, I will counsel you. But look at the rest of it. With my eye upon you. God's going to watch out over us. God's going to watch you. And you know, if you have a wayward child, you're going to get its attention. Well, sometimes we are those wayward sheep that Scripture talks about. He'll leave the 99 to go get the one. We are the ones in this room. And you know, if you were a shepherd in the old days and you continually had that one goofy little sheep that would run away, you know what they did, which was cruel? They broke its leg. They got its attention to go, you might try to jump the fence, but you ain't doing it with three legs now, okay? You're going to park your bottom right here and you're going to be a part of. God is going to get our attention. I'm not telling you He's going to break your legs, but He's going to break your spirit, because He's going to get your attention, because He says, I'm the one that instructs you. I'm the one that's going to teach you, and I'm going to watch what you're doing because I love you and I care for you. Okay? Now, Psalms 119. Sometimes we don't know what to do, where to go, how to get there, and it says, your word is a lamp to my feet. and a light to my path. Now, it's one thing to put a light down on your feet so that you can see your feet. Something totally different to literally have a light that will light up the path in which you and I need to walk in our Christian life. Psalms 37 says, the steps of a man... Let me ask this question, somebody answer. The steps of a man means what? The way he walks? The way he goes? The way of life? Connie? Okay. How about the mindset, one, that it's a journey and that it's a process? If you're going to go somewhere step by step, it's a process to take you there. The steps of a man, we want it now. Everybody lives in a fast food society. We drove, well, Mikey, you and I should have bought a Chick-fil-A years ago. I'm telling you, there were 42 cars at this one over here the other day. I counted them suckers. 42 cars in that line waiting to get food that they're going to pay $7, $8, $9, $10 for. I'm thinking, Lord, I mean, Lord have mercy. And I don't even like Chick-fil-A, man, you know. But it was crazy. But the thing that's important in the midst of this whole thing, it says, you know, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And when he falls, it didn't say if he falls, when he falls. Bible says we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Wages of sin is death. We are going to fall. And when he falls, he will not be hurled headlong for one reason, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Now, how awesome is that? I don't care where you are in your life today. I don't care how far you think you have fallen down. You got to understand, if I trip or you trip, the Lord is right there to grab us and lift us back up. Amen? Now, here's going to be a little exegetical study for us today. I want you to look at Genesis 8. And again, we're going to be talking about, you know, the right place at the right time. There's too much to put on the board, so if you have your Bibles, open it up to Genesis 8. I'm going to read it anyway if you don't. Genesis 8, verse 4, it says, on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountains, a place that is specific and a timing that is specific. Verse 6, after 40 days, Noah opened a window. Got to tell you, after that many days on that boat with all them animals, it was time to open the window, okay? After 40 days, Noah opened a window he had made in the ark, sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth till the water had dried up from the ground. A raven in this picture is a scavenger. Now, I know that you're going to go, that is grotesque, Pastor, but here's the deal. He didn't need anything except the dead bodies that were floating out in the flood to eat. That's what he did. The raven went out. He was a scavenger. He just went from place to place. He had no mindset. He had no direction. He just was flying around, and that's kind of where the world is today. The world is like the raven. There is no direction at all to this world that we live in. So then it says, then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could not find nowhere to perch because there was water all over the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand He took the dove. He brought it back to himself in the ark. Now he waited 7 more days, specific place, specific time. And he again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. And in verse 12, it says once again, he waited 7 more days, sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return. What's important in Scripture is to be mindful of the specific timing and the specific place of what God does for you and me. The word time in Hebrew is the word eth, E-T-H, which simply means timing. Noah knew, candidly, how to float his assets when his world was truly in liquidation. Now, here's what's important. Even in the midst of crisis, Noah prospered. How many people here look at a crisis to go, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, we're waiting for, you know, the interest rates to rise, the money, you know, everybody's in a crisis right now, and we look at it, but I want to take Noah's approach. Noah prospered during the crisis for one reason. He was in the right place at the right time. Okay? Now, when did the dove come back? In the evening. And it's here that you find that word if, which means timing, appearing in the Bible for the first time. In the evening was the right timing for that dove to come back. But what's interesting is that that's the first mention of timing, and it has to do with the Holy Spirit. And every believer has the Holy Spirit in them to lead them and place them in the right place at the right time in our life. Now, we run from the Holy Spirit. We're afraid of the Holy Spirit. But I got to tell you, it's the Spirit and the right timing of the Spirit, if you're available to listen to Him, that will guide your path so that you will prosper even when the world is in crisis. Now look at 2 Kings 4 and verse 8. 2 Kings 4 and verse 8. Now if this is not the right timing, I don't know what would be. It says, one day, Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. Right place, right time. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, I know this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof. Put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us. Right place. Right time. Now, the rest of this story is that he blesses her. She has a child. The child becomes sick. The child dies. She rides to the man of God. In her mind and in her mouth, every time someone asks her a question, she says, all is well. But she met the prophet at a specific place, at a specific time. She shared with him. He goes back to the house, a specific place, a specific time, and he raises that child who had died from the dead. Now, again, you're talking about timing, and you're talking about a specific place. Now, turn your Bible, if you would, to 2 Kings 8, and let's look at verses 1 through 6. It says, "Now Elisha had said to the woman whose son he had restored to life, 'Go away with your family and stay for a while wherever you can, because the Lord has decreed a famine in the land that will last 7 years,' a specific place and at a specific time. The woman proceeded to do as the man of God said. She and her family went away, stayed in the land of the Philistines 7 years. At the end of the 7 years, she came back from the land of the Philistines, went to appeal to the king for her house and land." Someone had taken it over. The king was talking to Gehazi, who was the servant of the prophet of God, and the servant of the man of God, and had said, "Tell me about all the great things that Elisha had done." And just as Gehazi was telling the king about Elisha and how he had restored the dead to life, the woman whose son Elisha had brought back to life came to appeal to the king for her house and for her land. Gehazi says, "This is the woman, my lord, the king, and this is her son from whom Elisha restored to life." And the king asked the woman about it. She told him. Then he assigned an official to her case, and he said to him, "Give back everything that belonged to her, including all the income from her land, from the day that she left the country and until right now." Now, again, what's important? Yeah, give God a hand clap or praise. Now, here's what's important. Elisha passed by. He could have passed by on any day, but he passed by on a specific day where the Shunammite woman was there. The Shunammite woman builds a room. Where? On top of her house. At a specific place. She did it at a specific time. She has a child. The child dies at a specific place and at a specific time. She meets Elisha. He raises the child again. He goes back to the house, and the child is risen from the dead. Specific place, specific time. Now, here's where it really is amazing. Now, Elisha speaks to this woman. Now, there's 2 years from the time that that child is resurrected from the dead to where we are now. So Elisha speaks to the woman and tells her to leave because there is a famine coming in the land for 7 years. Specific place, specific time. Gehazi, now how awesome is this? Gehazi, the servant, is speaking to the king. He's telling the king all that Elisha did. Specific place, specific time. And then the woman shows up. Happenstance? I don't think so. Just by coincidence? I don't think so. I think it was a divine appointment that she was there. And she goes and she talks to the king. And she tells the king. Now, we know if someone goes and goes, "Hey, listen, that was my..." No, now she's got somebody there to back up her story. Happenstance? Coincidence? No. God put somebody right there to back her story up. And the king goes, "Wow." And then he goes, "Hey, go with this woman. Get her house back, get her land back, and get all of the money and wealth that she had when she left, And it's all because of a specific timing and a specific place in her life. Does that just work for them? Or do you think it could kind of rub off on us? God's not a respecter of people. You know? I mean, I know people that have bought property and sold property. You know, years ago, the piece of property, the 5 acres that we have right next to us, Francis Adams bought that on a specific day at a specific time. And now, 20 years later, a specific timing in a specific place, her $87,500 has now been turned in to $1.7 million. Specific place, specific time. Don't tell me that God won't bless you if you do it His way. Amen? Give God a hand clap of praise on that one. Now, here's the things that I want you, two things. First of all, never depend upon the ravens of the world. The ravens fly around and they have no direction whatsoever. The ravens are the people that think that they have all the answers, and I jokingly said before, they are more messed up than you and I are, okay? But what we do need to depend upon is the dove. The dove is the Holy Spirit. And you and I need to start praying. And you and I need to start asking the Holy Spirit to bless us with right happenings so that you and I will be at the right place and the right time in our life. And I don't think, you know, that that is wrong to do that, because we've seen that, you know, and we need to listen to the Lord. But here's what I want you to leave this building with today. If Noah could float his assets when his world was in total liquidation, so can we. If Noah can prosper in the middle of crisis, so can we. It's all about seeking God, being at the right place at the right time. Amen? Give God a hand clap of praise.